This is Peter Tubbs of Market to Market. The following discussion is driven by your comments and questions. Keep sending your inquiries to markettomarket@iowapbs.org and watch on our YouTube channel or Facebook page of Market to Market Show.
Welcome into the Friday, October 1, 2021 Market Plus. Ladies and gentlemen, I present Dan Huber. Dan, on your drive,
Yes.
percentage of beans out.
You know, I think we're probably in the 60 to 70% range from north part of Illinois, where I came out of, out to Des Moines. So it's, you know, granted, some spots were heavier worked into than others, but it I was a little bit surprised that it was that far along.
So and beans? And beans?
And well, that
oh,
was,
did I ask beans
you
first?
You asked beans, yes.
All right,
I hope you did, because it's what I answered.
Okay, so corn.
Corn maybe 20%. I mean, a lot of combines rolling today, but it, and of course, I ran through rain, which, you know, for me, I haven't seen rain for the better part of 6 months, it seems like. So
Is weather going to be a story next year or even this year?
Well, I mean, I guess we could run into some issues yet. I mean, I know we've got a little rain through the Midwest this weekend. If it's going to be a story, it's probably going to be the South, you know, where it's already wet in the Delta, and we've had enough tropical storms and hurricanes to come through to make a mess down there. I mean, not that that's unusual for this time of year, but it for the Midwest and the upper Midwest, no, it doesn't look like it's probably going to be a tremendously big story.
Here's a story from this week in the ag world. It's Matt Nebraska's question that came in via Twitter. He says, in today's world of information overload, how in the world are there this big of surprises in USDA reports still?
You know, and granted, you know, we're dealing with, you know, something that encompasses the entire country as far as growing regions. They're trying to come up with a number. I don't think the surprises are maybe necessarily as big as the market makes them out to be sometimes.
The market or those who watch the market?
Those who watch, I should say, yeah. The market, when I say the market, I guess it's those who participate and are trying to anticipate things. So it's, you know, realistically, I give the credit to the USDA in the respect that they probably have more statistical data than anybody else. They do tend to rely more on statistics today than maybe they did in years past. And of course, you know, COVID accentuated that over the last year, less people out of the field doing those type of things. You know, until we get to the point where we can afford to have satellite readings and sensors out of the field, this kind of thing, there's always going to be that room for error, room for variability. You know, again, maybe the issue is more with people who are estimating what those reports are going to say than the reports themselves. So it, you know, as a, I don't know how everybody puts their numbers together, but, you know, some of them might be just a little more than a shot in the dark to begin with.
So the natural follow-up question comes from Mark in Manchester, Iowa. Is it time to do away with the crop reports? Do they only hurt farmers?
Oh, I don't, you know, I think you could probably go back and find just as many times as they help. You know, we tend to forget about them when we get a negative one there. I mean, wheat being an example this week, it came out with a very positive number on the wheat. You know, I think taking information away probably does nobody any good at that point, other than those who are probably the biggest players in the market who have their own data to begin with and probably rely on that anyway. So it's, you know, if we go back on the history of the USDA, Abraham Lincoln's the one that founded it specifically because farmers were not getting information about what was happening around the nation. So it's, you know, I do think we need that independent, nonprofit, theoretically, source that provides that information for us. And, you know, maybe we just need to put the funding in it to, you know, and I think people in the USDA say this, give us the funding to put the boots on the ground. We can give you better reports. Well, you know, each year we tend to cut back on those budgets and not put that money into getting that kind of information to us.
Well, Jake in Illinois asks a question related to the report. Where did we hide 87 million bushels of beans for the past year?
Well, you know, the beans have always been a little tricky to do inventory numbers on because they do get tucked away on a lot of farms, a lot of places where they you can't store corn just because you don't need to really condition the beans in the same way. So, you know, when you get to high-priced beans, we always tend to start dragging those out of the nooks and crannies that we don't realize are there. So, you know, maybe, again, part of it probably a little bit undercounted from last year. Maybe that's been running for a couple of years here. But like I say, high prices tend to really bring inventory out that we forgot was out there to begin with.
And high prices cure high prices?
Cure prices, just as low prices cure low prices. That's right.
All right. So this is a question about soybeans. I made you do a little homework before you came out here.
Yes.
Harry in Alma, Arkansas. We had a similar question last week. But what percentage of American soybeans goes to China?
currently approximately, well, I should say 60% of the exports that we leave this country are moving to China right at this point in time, which really then that equates about 25% of the total crop. So it is our export business. You know, when you look at the numbers each week, you know, we'll have sold 1 million tons of soybeans, of which 700,000 are to China or to unknown destinations. So, I mean, without them in the market right now, we would be not looking at a lot of export business.
It'd be a different story, too.
Absolutely.
Would probably not be with double digits in front.
Correct.
Of the price. All right. Ram in Edgar, Wisconsin, was asking, we did kind of cover this in the program, what direction is cattle headed? He's asking about fats and feeders, steady to lower.
Sure. You know, I'm going to tend to say more steady at this point in time. You know, and again, it's not like we're putting a lot of animals on feed at this juncture. As we talked about earlier in the previous segment, you know, this is not the time of the year where you really see a tremendous amount of demand to, you know, for the grilling season is behind us at this point in time. But I don't see a lot of downside here at this point in time. I think we've come to a point of value, and you know, with particularly now with the hog market accelerating new highs, that's probably going to make people think, do a little more comparison shopping when it comes to the meat counter.
All right, I have equal opportunity on my operation.
Okay,
should I be expanding my beef herd or my hog herd right now?
Well, they're both difficult to expand on most places of the country just because of all the external factors. I guess I would probably tend to say hogs. I mean, I think hogs are still going to be viewed on as a more competitive meat year in, year out. And, you know, I think the hog industry is doing a nice job of kind of repositioning itself as a good flavor alternative as well. So.
Doug and Thornton, he always likes a good cattle market question, but this time he's asking about what's up with the oat market. Is it a better choice than corn? Last week the discussion was oats. No.
Well, of course, if you were in the northern plains, oat might be a better move this year. And granted, the problems in the Canadian prairies this year really, really cut into the oat production, the oats that we can bring in. I guess I haven't watched it. I know years past we used to bring quite a few oats out of Sweden. I haven't seen if they've made any major changes or had any problems here this year. You know, here again, as with any market, it's a spot. Or actually, any small grain market like that, it tends to be a spot market. So what looks great today may not translate into what July oats are for next year. I haven't really looked out there, and I doubt there's a whole lot of trade in that new crop oat contract at this point in time. So if you really thought you were going to expand acres, I guess I would find a way if I could lock those in at this point in time too. So
all right. This is a little more on something we already covered, but David in Eastern Iowa asked us this question last week, and we've talked a lot about ASF. And so what happens to ASF if we have a positive case in the U.S.? Not so much what it does to the hog market, but what's it do to the cattle market?
You know, I guess it has to be a boon for all meats at that point in time. I mean, granted, we really had a crackdown, and, you know, granted, having a case doesn't mean it's necessarily spreading, but I think, you know, one, it psychologically, people are going to think, well, if there's a disease in the meat, I don't want it either, you know, let alone what the potential death toll would be within the hog industry there. Mm-hmm. So it's, I would have to say it'd be supportive to poultry and beef both.
Okay. Lastly, this is something you covered a little bit as well, talking about inputs, and there's discussions online about maybe I'm going to flip from one to the other. Mike in Stillwater, Oklahoma, asked last week, and again, Ted covered it. I want you to cover it. Number one choice, what's your price protection for inputs or crops? Which one are you protecting in 2022? Are you protecting your inputs or are you protecting your crops next year with price protection?
You know, I would probably tend to go to the crops. I think the commodity sector, for a lot of reasons, is probably at a pinnacle. And particularly if we see the dollar continue to strengthen in 2022, I think that's going to be put defensive action in all the commodities, you know, crude oil included, natural gas included, which is going to also affect the price of those inputs. So I guess I would worry about protecting crops first and worry about the inputs later.
All right. Dan Huber, good to see you.
Likewise. Great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for the conversation.
All right.
All right. That will do it for this installment of Market Plus. Next week, we're going to look at the supply chain strain on manufacturing, and Arlen Suderman will join us to analyze the markets. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great week.